may get ugly this morning. This church has never known a greater pastor than Pastor Jack.
That's a fact.
And just as equally great is Miss Ellen, his wife. What you see up here with Pastor Jack and Miss Ellen is what you get all throughout their life. And it is a rare occasion in this day and age where you have a pastor and a pastor's wife lead for over 40 years in ministry and do it with integrity, do it with love and sacrifice, do it with commitment, and do it because the Holy Spirit of God has called them to do it. And they've made a lot of sacrifices over the years. And I can promise you that though he and Miss Ellen are retiring from leadership, from a pastor's role here at Charleston Baptist Church, they are not retiring from serving God. They will continue to do that. So pray for us, as this is a huge transition for not only the church, but also for our family. But you know, the Lord is good. When you read the scripture and you hear Jesus' words that he is the rock of the church and the church will never be defeated, the church will always continue to move on, it reminds us that it's not man, but it is him. And so pray for leadership in this church. Pray for those who are following Christ in this church, all of us together. We want to be on movement with God wherever he is leading us. Be thankful for the legacy and the foundation that has been laid in the past, but also in great and mighty faith, one step at a time, move forward in the future. And so you guys have been a very gracious church and a very loving church, and I pray that you will not stop that, not only for myself, but also for Pastor Jack and Miss Ellen. So with all that, as we try to get it together, let's pray. We'll set the stage for hearing God's word this morning. Lord, we just thank you for today, and Lord, I have in many ways dreaded this moment, but I'm thankful that I'm not losing anything. He's still the greatest mentor that I know. He's still my father-in-law, my friend, a great spiritual leader. Miss Ellen is still my mother-in-law and my friend, and they always provide a place to call home. And so we're thankful that none of those things will change. Lord, I know that in your grace, maybe those things will even grow even sweeter. Lord, as we try to regroup our minds and our hearts, we pray that the Holy Spirit would calm us down enough to hear the power of the words of Jesus Christ himself. And not just to hear those words, but Lord, give us desire and power. Give us confidence in knowing that you have equipped us not only to hear the gospel message, but Lord, to live out that gospel message as we leave this building this morning. So Lord, we pray that you would give us strength, give us wisdom, and give us passion for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning we're going to continue our study through the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. And in this passage, Jesus brings our attention to this reality that there are things out there that look good. They seem to be good. Things on the surface that promise to bring about fulfillment in your life, meaning in your life, to somehow bring your life to another level. But on close examination, close inspection, what you find that what the world promises to be everything, in reality, brings absolutely nothing. It will never deliver what it says. And Jesus says in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20, he says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." And based on this particular passage, I want us to see two very important instructions that Jesus gives us as we follow him, as we live this life of faith, as we navigate through this life as a Christian, as a born-again believer, as someone who has been redeemed and purchased and bought back by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus looks at the crowd on that mountain on that day, and he looks at his disciples, those who are his true followers, and he gives them two instructions, and those same two instructions are just as important for us today as we live today. And the first instruction is this: beware of the influences around me. Beware of the influences around me. Jesus begins our passage this morning with a very strong word. He uses that word, beware. He's looking at the people, the crowd that is gathered there, and he says, there's something you need to be on the lookout for. There's something that you need to pay very, very close attention to. At all times, don't put your guard down on this. Meaning there is danger around you. You need to have your head out of the sand and be looking at what is actually happening around you. What is influencing you? Be on guard. And what is it that Jesus is meaning about that? What is he saying? What is he telling them to be on guard about? Jesus tells them to beware of false prophets. People who are posing as prophets. People who are posing as shepherds. Those who are supposed to be guiding you, protecting you, encouraging you, teaching you the things of God. And Jesus says, listen, church, there's a lot of fake people out there. There's a lot of fake people out there. Remember the context, Matthew 7, 13 and 14 from last week. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. And here's the reality of life. There are only two roads. And the scripture says that one of them is a wide road. It is an easy road. Everything is acceptable. Nothing, if anything, very little of you is required on this road. It promises great gander. It satisfies the desires of the flesh. It looks good. It appears good. But when you get to the end of that road, it's a road of destruction. And many are on that road. But there's a narrow road. There's a road that is going to be very difficult. It is very hard. You're going to face great persecution. You're going to have to die to your sinful desires each and every day. It's a road that requires much from you. It is a road that's not very popular. But it is the only road that leads to life, not only eternal, but life today. So that's the context. And this warning about false prophets or false teachers isn't new here. This has been a common thread throughout the Bible. So what is a false prophet? What is a false teacher? And very simply, this is how I'm going to pare it down for you. There's a lot more involved, but just understand this part. A false prophet or a false teacher is someone who influences you away from Jesus and towards the things of this world. That's all you got to know. It's that simple. In other words, it's anyone who takes the gospel and either adds to it or takes away from it. That somehow Jesus isn't enough for your life. Either there is something else that needs to be added or Jesus really doesn't matter at all. know, these types of influencers are all around us. They're all around us. The Bible often refers to God's people as his sheep. And just as clearly, the Bible also says that the sheep need a shepherd. The sheep need a shepherd because they aren't very smart. They can't take care of themselves. They can't protect themselves. They wander around a lot. And prophets, in essence, were shepherds. Prophets are to protect, to feed, to guide, and influence the sheep towards their master. But false prophets, false teachers, they don't do that. Jesus here paints this picture that as we navigate through this narrow road of life, the one that brings about the greatest fulfillment you will ever know in Jesus Christ, we must be aware of the things and the people around us that influence us. Influences will either lead us to Jesus or pull us away from Jesus. Based on that, as we consider the people that we allow to influence us, and I hope you're not just thinking about your child, but thinking about you, as we think about the people that influence us today, there are certain mistakes, common mistakes that we make as followers of Jesus. These mistakes are not only common, but they're easy to make. We make them all the time, and Jesus is warning us, be aware, don't do this. Stop doing this. And the first mistake, common mistake that we make as followers of Jesus Christ is this. We assume that we can trust people based on their outward appearance. We assume we can trust people based on their outward appearance. We commonly make the mistake of thinking just because someone looks like they have their act together, we think that just because they're a nice person, we can trust them. Look how Jesus describes these people, these false prophets. In verse 17, he says, these people who come to you in sheep's clothing. And you have to understand that during this time, in this particular culture, prophets and shepherds were identified a lot of times by the things that they wore. And specifically, shepherds would wear wool garments, sheepskin. And so the picture here is someone who looks like a sheep, but really wasn't a sheep. He would sneak into the flock, and as soon as the good shepherd would turn his head, that false prophet, that false teacher would begin to cause harm and great dysfunction to the sheep. And Jesus says, just like that is happening out there in the field, it's exactly what can happen in your life if all you do is trust anything and everything at face value. You must beware. You must be on the lookout for false prophets, false teachers. They appear one way, but they are something much, much different. We often make the mistake that if someone is nice to me, shows me attention, even uses spiritual language, who tells me what I want to hear, who makes me feel good, then I can trust them. Listen. As you listen to the radio, as you go to your class and listen to your teacher tomorrow, as you listen to what your friends are telling you, as you watch TV, as you read all the stuff that's on the internet today, it doesn't matter how good it seems to sound, it doesn't matter how smooth the delivery is, it doesn't matter how many people are following behind that message. If it takes away from who Jesus Christ is or tries to add to Jesus, it is a false message. It is a false message. I wonder how many Christians here this morning are getting our counsel from everything else but the Bible. You're getting your counsel from everything else but the Bible. Your marriage, your family, your finances, your personal relationship with Jesus is so important, so primary in your life, that the one thing you should not neglect, the Bible, is the one thing that very much gets neglected in our day and age because we aren't going there as often as we should. Listen to what Henry Blackaby says. He says, when unbelievers make important decisions, they must rely on their own knowledge and understanding. You, as a Christian, have access to God's wisdom. God's Spirit is within you to guide you. The Holy Spirit will open your eyes to the truth of the Scriptures that you can see things from God's perspective. Only God sees the future. So only He can accurately lead you to make correct decisions today. What are you allowing to influence you today? We have to be in constant awareness of the things that we allow, the people that we allow to speak into our lives today. Are you making the mistake right now that you can trust what is someone is telling you based on outward appearance alone? There's also another mistake that we commonly make as Christians, and that's this. We forget that the goal of the enemy is to keep us away from Jesus. That is the goal of the enemy. The goal of the enemy is to keep us away from Jesus. And we forget that sometimes. We navigate through life. We get busy doing all these things. We're going down this narrow road that leads to life in Jesus Christ. And we lose sight of the fact that the enemy is out there. And his number one goal is bent on destruction in your life. Jesus could have, when you think about Jesus' phrasing here, he could have said any type of phrase to describe these false prophets. But listen to his description in verse 15. He says, inwardly there are ravenous wolves. Wolves are creatures that are greedy. They are cruel. They're deceiving. They're cunning. They're always on the attack, sniffing out blood. And at the very first sign of weakness in your life, their goal is complete destruction. Complete destruction in your life. You know, the enemy has a threefold strategy. Threefold strategy in your life, and it's found in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The context of that verse, he's talking about the Pharisees. So people that look good, have high morality, strong churchgoers, all those things. That's the context of John 10:10. That is the thief. Those who appear to be very godly, those who appear to have a personal relationship with Jesus, but all in all, it's based on man's religion, not on a personal relationship with Jesus. And their goal is to do what? Their goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. The cunning thief secretly rises or tries to rob you of the joy of your salvation, tries to kill your relationship with Jesus, and tries to destroy your identity, who you are in Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, we get so comfortable with our lives, we let our guard down. And we allow all kinds of things, all kinds of influences into our lives. And understand this. The enemy, regardless if it looks like Satan or it looks like a good person, the enemy is hell-bent on stealing, killing, and destroying who you are in Jesus Christ. That's his number one goal. And Jesus says these false prophets, they're dangerous. They're instruments in Satan's hands, and they are doing a very good job at destroying people. Instruction number one, beware of the influences around me. So that begs the question. How can you determine if the influences, the people in your life who are speaking to your life, how can you determine if they are leading you to a deeper relationship with Jesus, or their goal is to take you away from your relationship with Jesus? And that is instruction number two that Jesus gives us. He says this, examine one's message and their life. That's what Jesus is going to say. You want to know the influence in your life? You want to know how to determine if that influence is bringing you closer to Jesus or taking you away from Jesus? Examine what they say and examine their life. Jesus in this passage repeats a phrase two times in verse 16 and verse 20. He says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. You're going to know these false prophets, these false teachers, by what? By looking at the very fruit of their life. Jesus gives us a very simple illustration here, and I think it's marvelous because if you think about it, if you go out into a field and you look at a tree and you see apples growing from that tree, you're going to call that tree a what? An apple tree. That's right, my man. You did it right. If you walk into another field and you look at a tree and it's got oranges growing off of it, you're going to call it what? An orange tree, right? That's exactly what you're going to call it. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus gives us a very simple illustration for us to recognize the fruit. We don't have to look at the bark. We don't have to look at the size. We look at what's being produced. And that's what tells us if it's good or bad. Jesus says, you want to know if someone is on the narrow road or the broad road? Do you want to know who is influencing you towards a deeper relationship with Jesus, or their goal is to take you away from Jesus? And listen, it is a very subtle. It can be very subtle. Very, very subtle. Jesus says you need to examine the fruit. And this examination really has two different aspects. The first aspect to which Jesus tells us to look close to is to determine if somebody is leading you to Jesus or trying to lead you away from Jesus is you need to examine their speech. You need to examine their speech. What are they teaching me? What am I hearing from them? What is their message? Matthew 7:16 says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In this passage, there are two different plants mentioned in this particular passage. One was a bush, and from a distance, the small things that were growing on that bush, they appeared to be grapes. But on further examination, on closer inspection, as you got closer to what that actually was, you realized that it wasn't a grape at all. There was another plant called a thistle, and there were some flowers that would grow on it. And from a distance, those flowers looked like figs. But once you got closer, once you peeled back the onion a little bit, once you examined what you actually saw, what you thought you saw, but now you see it a little bit better, you realize that those aren't figs at all. And Jesus is saying, man, don't take things at face value. Don't take things at face value. Examine the messages that are influencing your heart and your mind, because they have the ability, listen, church, they have the ability to strengthen your relationship with Jesus or take your relationship away in many cases. Your fellowship with Jesus can be disrupted by the influences that you allow into your life. We live in a day and time that is filled with all kinds of technology. We have information overload. But we have to ask ourselves this question: is the information that we are allowing into our minds and into our hearts, is it good? Is it good for me to fixate my mind and heart on what is being said and what the messages are that are coming to me? As you filter the information that you hear, and I hope you have a filter, you need to ask these questions. What are they saying about Jesus? What are they saying about sin? What are they saying about the Bible? About marriage, about life, about finances, about relationships, about pleasure, about all those things that come to mind. Those things are found in Scripture. They're found in the Bible. God has given us the most holy book we will ever put our eyes on. And by the Holy Spirit of God, He will teach us how to discern what He wants and desires for His children. As you think about the things that people are teaching you, people that are speaking into your life, people that are a lot of times the closest to you, have the greatest influence in you, does their teaching emphasize a deeper relationship with Jesus or a greater involvement in the things of this world? If you just answer that question, you will discern a lot of things in your life. Does this message confirm what other mature followers of Christ, genuine, authentic, humble followers of Jesus Christ, does it confirm what they're telling me as well? Or is it something totally different? There's also another aspect that we should be examining as we walk this narrow road that leads to life, and that is this: we should examine their life. Not just their speech, but examine their life. Examine what you see. Is the fruit that they're producing good fruit? Good fruit. Matthew 7, verse 17 and 18 says, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Jesus gives us two different types of fruit. He says there's bad fruit and there's good fruit. Jesus says no matter who you are, no matter how strong you think you might be, no matter what position or power you may think you have, you're either going to have bad fruit or you're going to have good fruit. Now, I'm not saying that Christians don't sin. We do sin. What I am saying is when you look at the long-term trajectory of your life, if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to produce good fruit. And I'm not saying that bad fruit's easy to recognize, because you know what? The reality is this. Sometimes it lays dormant for a very, very long time. But the scripture tells us you can't hide it. It's going to come out. It's going to expose who you truly are. The bad fruit can never produce good fruit. So what does bad fruit look like in someone's life? Again, I'm not asking you to look at the person next to you. I'm asking you to examine. I think the scripture is saying examine your life before you get anywhere else. And one of the clearest illustrations of good fruit, bad fruit, bad fruit, good fruit is found in Galatians chapter 5. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says talking about bad fruit. He says, now the works of the flesh, that is the fruit that they produce, are evident. This is how it's evident. Sexual immorality, impurity of the mind, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, or what you would say witchcraft, enmity, that is hatred, strife, that is constant desire to fight, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, even envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you as I warned you before that those things, those who do such things, that is those who indulge in those practices, those who make that their lifestyle choice, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is the bad fruit. That is the type of fruit that is produced when people depend on themselves and not on Jesus Christ. That is the fruit that is exposed when the Spirit of God is not in their life. Why? Because it's the sinful desires of the flesh. And you want me to, I'm going to help you out here, church. Even with Christ, if we don't pursue Jesus personally in a relationship, you're going to have that same fruit. Because that is who you are when you don't depend on Jesus Christ. And so some of us here this morning are thinking about people in our life, thinking about maybe our own sin, and we see some of those things that are evident. Maybe you're a husband here and you're extremely angry all the time. You haven't always been, but now you are. Maybe you're here this morning and your great temptation to sin is sexual immorality somewhere. And you're asking yourself, why is this the case? Well, if you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, it's the case because you're not walking with the Lord anymore. You're allowing those bad influences in your life. And don't misunderstand me. It is out to cause destruction on you, your family, everything that Jesus Christ loves. The enemy wants to destroy it. That is the broad road, church. That's what's accepting. That's what's tolerated. That's what's inviting. Jesus says in 13 and 14, that's the road that leads to destruction. But the Bible doesn't stop there. The scripture tells us what the good fruit is. Right after that passage, Apostle Paul is going to say in verses 22 through 24, but the fruit of the Spirit, man, you love it. One Spirit, one fruit. This is what it does to us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Verse 24, and those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh, put it to death daily with its passions and its desires. That the beauty of the Christian life is it's not based on us trying harder to exhibit those things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is not our motivation. Our motivation simply isn't trying harder. The motivation is the Spirit of God at work in your heart and in your life. And when the Spirit of God has rule and reign on your life, those things are naturally produced. That is so important for us to understand. Here's why that is so important. Because the ability to produce good fruit must have the right root. It must have the right source. In other words, Christ in us will always produce good fruit. He is faithful to that. He is faithful to that good fruit. So how does a follower of Jesus produce good fruit? How is the fruit of the Spirit modeled in your life? Even when you're dealing with hard situations, hard people, yes, sometimes the ones we most love, John 15, 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, grabs a hold of me, wraps their arms, embraces who I am, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing That is the equation there, church. When we are convinced that Jesus doesn't make a difference in our life, we're going to exhibit the bad fruit. But when we are passionate, convicted, grabbing hold of Jesus Christ in every conversation, in every thought, in every desire, the Spirit of God wells up inside of us. The payoff of that abiding in Christ exhibits the good fruit of the Spirit. Jesus is good at producing good fruit. Listen, we are all born with the sin nature. Our default mode, our natural bent is to satisfy the desires of the flesh. And apart from Jesus Christ, you will never manifest the good fruit long term. Without Jesus, ultimately, there is no good fruit. And that is the beauty of the gospel, church. Not only by grace through faith is Jesus going to forgive you of your sins. Not only is Jesus going to secure your eternity with him in heaven. But Jesus says, I'm going to give you my very life. And that life is going to be lived out through you. He is faithful to that. What are the takeaways this morning? And here's what I want God's people to understand. The fruit of my life reveals the source of my life. It's that simple. Maybe you're here this morning and you know that you've given your life to Christ. There is a defining in your moment where God gave you a new heart and new desires and new loves. But as you look back on your journey, you realize that for whatever reason, you have slowly gotten away from Jesus Christ. And now you are doing things that provide great excitement, on some levels great fulfillment, but there is always an emptiness there. He is faithful for that too. And you want to know, how is it that you've gotten where you've gotten? Jesus says, you've forgotten about the source. You've forgotten about the source. And so the takeaway for you this morning is, examine your life. Where are you going? Where are you going for fulfillment, approval, love, affection, satisfaction, security, completeness? If it's not Jesus Christ, it's going to pull you away from him. Ask yourself this question. What type of advertisement am I? I claim to be a Jesus follower. I go to church, I tithe, I pray. I serve. What's your advertisement at home? What's your advertisement in the school place? What's your advertisement at work? Listen, that narrow road is a hard road. And so you're going to find yourselves in hard places. And the easy way out is to look like those on the wide road. And Jesus says, no, not my followers. My followers will be committed to the narrow path everywhere they go. The second takeaway is this. Choose carefully whom you allow to influence your life. Choose carefully whom you allow to influence your life. How's your guard right now? Are your hands up? Are they drooping? Listen, you put your hand down, one hand down, you're going to get socked in the face. You watch any kind of boxing, MMA, UFC, whatever it is. If you ain't on guard, you're getting clocked. You're going to get hurt. Is there a filter at all? Moms, dads, this is a wake-up call for us. Young people, set the filters now. You get off to college, you're not around mom and dad anymore. You have no filter. It's all wide open. You're going to have some bad influences in your life. Do you have a filter, or are you just drifting to the things of social media? Is your greatest influences right now Facebook, YouTube, Twitter? If that is... And I'm not saying there's not Christian things on there, but by and large, it is not, even from supposed Christian people. If that is your filter, you're in trouble. Listen to Jesus' stern warning in verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Your enemy is hell-bent on destroying you. Are you allowing him full access to your heart and mind? As we close this morning, I'll ask the praise team to come up. And I just want to give you an opportunity to respond in faith to Jesus. As you think about where the Holy Spirit has been guiding you and teaching you as we've gone through God's Word together, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, are you realizing that there are some bad influences in your life? Or maybe you're being a bad influence. And you realize that you need a realignment. Listen, the Holy Spirit is good at realigning. In faith, will you surrender whatever that area is in faith to Jesus Christ? So when we sing in just a moment, that's where I want you to examine. Where you respond in faith. Jesus, I've done a poor job here, and I realize I need to be dependent on you. Here's the reality, though. Some of you are so convicted by the Holy Spirit right now that you're going to let your pride and your arrogance and the false lie that if I get that out of my life, I'm not going to be happy anymore. That's Satan. Jesus says, I have open arms for you at all times. Step out in faith. Surrender to Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you personally haven't given your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you thought you did. Maybe you did all the things that are formal, raising your hand, saying a prayer, but deep down you realize that it's been empty, and it's been empty for a long time. Listen, Jesus has the narrow road open for you today. You don't have to know what to say. All you got to do is come forward and say, I need Jesus in my life. And we will partner with you. We will pray with you. We will counsel you. We will shepherd you and disciple you on your journey of faith. So whatever that decision is for you today, I'm going to ask you to stand and sing and respond in faith.